Welcome to the Sex Talk Cafe, a podcast where you'll get to learn from the experts in the field of sex, love, and relationships. The mission of the Sex Talk Cafe is to normalize the conversation on sexuality while building a bridge between the sexual and spiritual. I'm your host, Susan Morgan Taylor. I'm a holistic sex therapist, intuitive coach, and specialist in women's sexuality and feminine spirituality. I'm the founder and CEO of the Pathway to Pleasure Collective, where I help women and couples around the world restore intimacy, save their relationship, and get back to love without feeling like they have to sacrifice themselves just to keep their partner happy. Thank you so much for joining me. Welcome to the Sex Talk Cafe. Welcome everyone to the Sex Talk Cafe, and today I am so very excited to introduce my guest, Lee Jagger, who is an erotic massage coach for women. So excited to be able to do this interview with you, Lee. Thank you so much just for sharing your time and your expertise with us today. Welcome to the Sex Talk Cafe.
Thank you so much, Susan. I am super stoked for this conversation. I have a feeling it's going to be really good.
Yes, I think so too. Well, yeah, just for our listeners, I would love for you just to share a little bit about your work, who you are, what you do, and this is such a unique specialty that you have, the erotic massage coach for women, and we would love to know a little bit about just what inspired you. How did you get into this whole niche and this whole field?
Oh my gosh. So this is not something that I sought out at all. I was my ideal client, actually. So I was the type of person who was not feeling powerful in the bedroom. If you had said, oh yeah, one day you're going to be an erotic massage person, expert, I would have laughed in their face. Like that was the absolute last thing on my bucket list. Like it wasn't even on the bucket list. And, I didn't have a very empowering sex life. I was a sexual wallflower. I just went along with whatever the guy wanted to do, never initiated. About 3 months into a new relationship, I would start thinking of excuses not to have sex when he got home. Like I was just like, oh God. I thought I went to counseling. I went to hypnotherapy. I thought something was wrong with me. Like maybe I was abused as a child. But I totally lost interest in sex after a certain point into a relationship. And looking back, I connected the dots and realized, oh, that was because I was really great at receiving foreplay and all the pleasure, but I was not good at delivering that, reciprocating, because I didn't know what to do with the guy's penis. Like I felt incompetent. Like I had an experience when I was young, where like early 20s, where I went down on a guy and he was hard as a rock and we were totally turned on and making out in his bed. And I was feeling extra brazen. I probably had a tequila shot or something. I don't know. And I thought, okay, well, I'm going to rock his world. And I started kissing down his chest and down his belly, working my way right down there thinking I can do no wrong. I'm going to rock this guy's world. I pulled out all the stops. And the more I did, the more flaccid he got until he was completely like wah wah, and he didn't say anything. And I was just like mortified beyond belief. I wanted to die right there. And you know, he didn't say, oh, go back to that. That felt better. Or like just everything that I did, I pulled out the best stuff I could think of and it really flailed. And so from that experience, I think it was, I just never wanted to, you know, go gung-ho on a guy because I didn't feel really competent in that area.
Sure.
And so fast forward many years later, I'm in my mid-40s. Right now I'm 52, but in my mid-40s, I was completely broke at a real low point in my life, single mom. I was homeless for a while. And I got this call in response to a Craigslist ad. I had posted something about Swedish massage, looking for work. And this woman responded saying, hey, so I saw your ad. Are you at all interested in erotic massage? And I'm like, that's with a happy ending, right? And I had no idea about anything in that industry. And she said, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, no, that's so not my dealio. But she dropped a dollar figure. And I'm like, ooh. Like, I was literally hungry, literally. I was so broke, I could tell you how many dollars and cents I had in my purse.
Yep.
And I had, you know, a 10-year-old in tow at the time. So I was desperate. And so I went in and I thought, okay, let's just do this for a couple weeks.
Sure.
You know, just to get ahead. I'll fake it till I make it. I don't know how to do a hand job. I've no idea. But I'll just, I don't know. I'll figure something out.
Right.
Jump and then, you know, build your wings on the way down kind of thing.
Exactly.
And so I went in and I did a forehand with this other therapist. Yeah. And she's on one side of the client, I'm on the other, and she took the lead. That was the only way really that I would agree to do it.
Right.
Because I didn't know what I was doing. And
clarify real quick, this was for a woman reached out to you, but it was like for her husband or her partner?
No, she had an office.
Oh,
she had an office and she had a couple ladies working for her.
Okay, great. Cool.
Yeah. And okay. So I went in with one of her girls and the first session didn't go so bad. It wasn't as hard. So I pictured the kind of clientele who would be on the table would be like old creepy dude who could never get a date. And then he's got to hire someone like me to, you know, have some, you know, any kind of action. I was thinking, ick, just ew.
Yeah.
And I went in and the guy was like early 30s, gorgeous. He was in the military, so he had a beautiful body, smart, funny. We had a conversation. Like, it was totally not like I thought. I'm writing a book about the experience, actually. It's so fun to retell this story. And so afterwards, I'm like, you know, that wasn't so bad. Would you like to come back tomorrow? Or can I come back tomorrow and do a forehand with you and do this again? I think I want to do this. And she said, actually, I'm double booked right now. Can you take this other guy? I'm like by myself? She's like, oh yeah, you got this. You did fine. And I just thought, you know, if I don't just jump in with both feet, I'm probably not going to come back tomorrow.
Right.
Like, just do it. Yeah. I'll start thinking about it and my mind will get carried away and I won't come back. So I went in with guy number two, old creepy dude on the table. No rapport was built. He had no interest in conversation. Uh-huh. He couldn't have cared less who I was. Like, it was a totally different experience. And halfway through the session, unannounced, he jumps off the table and says, okay, you get on the table. I'm going to massage you now. Oh, and every cell in my body was on high alert and just like, what's happening? And so I got him back on the table. There was no way that was happening. Got him back on the table and I finished the session. I was totally professional. And in that finishing of the session, in my mind, I'm having this huge conversation with myself thinking, oh my gosh, Lee, this is indicative of your sex life. Like, you are a victim in the bedroom. In your mind, you're a total victim. You are at the whim of whatever the guy's intention is.
Sure.
You never express your boundaries. You don't know how to enforce your boundaries.
Right.
Like, this is big girl penny time. I think you're going to learn a whole lot by doing this work. Like, this is more than meets the eye. And so I realized with guy number two, I needed to do this just for my own personal growth.
Mm-hmm.
6 years later and 2,000 clients later, I became a completely different person in the bedroom. Like, my personal life had completely transformed so that now I was not a sexual wallflower. I did have lots of boundaries and I was totally able to express them. And I knew exactly what to do to man's genitals. So, unlikely story, but that's how I came to know all the stuff that I know.
It's amazing. And I want to ask you, I have a couple of questions for you on this journey that I think is really relevant. You know, the learning of the boundaries piece, you know, you said you weren't good at that. And I think so many of us generally tend to not be great at that. And we don't know what we want, or if we do, we have a hard time speaking up, or we don't want to hurt someone's feelings, or we just kind of let things happen that we don't really want to see happen. And my question to you is, how did you learn that piece, especially being in that setting, you know, where potentially if someone doesn't have good boundaries or the client doesn't and you don't, it can get very gray and very sticky very quickly. So I'm just curious, like, how did you manage that piece? How did you start to develop using your voice and having boundaries in that setting where potentially it could have been a slippery slope?
Yeah, a brilliant question. Because there wasn't typically a lot of talking in my sessions with my clients. Yeah. But at around the same time, I started discovering the world of Tantra, which is very different depending on who you talk to, and the definition in the dictionary, it doesn't at all resemble what I learned. But right. Basically, I learned how to be intimate with a person, and a lot of practice expressing my desires, finding out what my desires were, how to talk to my partner about their desires and their pleasure, how they like to be touched, and doing it in a really respectful way. So at Rock the Bedroom, my business is all about incorporating the Tantra stuff that I learned and respecting myself and my partner, and having the literally hands-on practical skills on, you know, have the tools in your sexual toolbox, and integrating both of those is like magic, because you can walk in and have these physical tools at your disposal, but if you're not communicating in the bedroom, it's still not really going to be a spectacular situation.
Absolutely. I agree.
Yeah. So communication is like absolutely top of the list in my world of a great relationship in general.
Right. Because I think that, you know, the shadow side of this is that you can learn all these techniques and whip them all out in the bedroom, but you haven't had a conversation with your partner about how does this feel? Is this even what they want? Who is this even for right now? Is it for them or is it for me? Right. And that can just go south really fast and really blow back in our faces. So that piece of communication is really important. I definitely agree with that. It's great to hear that that's part of what you teach and your work is how to do that and how to get that agreement and consent and make sure that we're operating in a way that is pleasurable for both people.
Both. Exactly. When women find out what I do, often their response is, oh, well, okay, that sounds great for the guy, but what's in it for me?
That was going to be my next question, because obviously this has changed your life and now you're helping other women change their lives. So that was going to be my next question to you is what on earth is in this for the women? Why did you get so much? I mean, obviously it made you more confident and change your sex life, but tell us, like, what is in this for women? I mean, the guy gets a great massage. What did you get out of it? What do your clients get out of it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, first off, confidence. And I know confidence sounds like a cliche term until you are, you know, like it's not just a cloak that you put on and wrap around you when needed.
Right.
Confidence isn't something that you just borrow for a bit. It's just something you become. Yeah. So like for my single ladies, oh my gosh. So they're my single ladies who are dating. One of my clients, she said, I love it when I'm sitting across the table from a guy. And I used to think, oh God, I hope he likes me. I really like this guy. I hope he likes me. Or this is progressing really well. And we're going to go back to my place. How is this going to go? And this monkey mind chatter in their head of doubt, of fear, of worry, all that. Instead of that, she's thinking, oh, you're going to like me, you know, like just to have that confidence that I am the queen and I get to pick any king that I want. And he's going to be the luckiest man on the planet. Like to walk around in that, skin, you know, like, I mean that the ripple effects of that are like negotiating a raise at work. You have the confidence to speak up for yourself and, you know, to embrace that goddess part of you.
Right. Yeah. It really goes beyond the bedroom. You know, I think what I love about being a sex therapist and really helping people in the domain of sexuality, like you yourself do, and my other guests on this show do, is that you know, it's very direct. When we go straight to the sex, all the other areas of our life that these problems show up in are also addressed. So it's a more direct and more efficient way to really to work with ourselves and with behavior change and with influencing the other areas of our life.
And you absolutely. And I think if you can conquer your demons in the bedroom, where we are our most vulnerable and most guarded.
Yeah.
Like that can't help but change how you are in the kitchen, in the living room, you know, like with everybody, with all of your relationships, yeah, your friends, your family. Oh my gosh. Like you feel on top of the world. You are the queen.
Really, liberation. This is women's liberation right here.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about this. Like, so what is it that most women get wrong about a man's penis?
Oh my gosh. Well, there's a few things. I would say, okay, so women assume that plano up and down, you know, like let's just talk about hands on a penis, you know, not intercourse or whatever, but if you're touching a guy's penis, we assume that the plano up and down with your hand, which all women know, they assume that that's pretty well all a man really needs. Mm-hmm. Like he's happy with that. That's how he masturbates, right? Up and down, fast and furious. And so if he gets himself off like that, then that's probably what he wants me to do. Because wouldn't he be doing the best to himself, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely not. That is, it's an absolute and no exclamation point. And a lot of it comes from the guys don't even know what's possible.
Sure.
Like in a desert, a man will drink dirty water. Does he want crystal clear water? Yep. Doesn't even know it exists in that desert. So he will drink dirty water. Mm-hmm. I have like 69 different happy endings. And when back in the day when I was doing the one-on-one with the male clients, they would be like, what are you doing right now? Like you feel like an octopus, like you have eight hands. I've never been touched that way. What are you doing? So, I mean, women assume that the bare minimum is really all that men need to feel sexually satisfied, but really it's not. Like if we do the bare minimum in the bedroom, then it's having an effect on our guy, and it's not enough. Like, so I learned a lot from Mother Teresa in this industry. Yeah. I know that sounds really, really, it's a puzzle piece that doesn't fit this puzzle, but Mother Teresa, this saint of a woman who worked in extreme poverty with people, she said these words, and it stopped me in my tracks when I heard them. She said, the most terrible poverty is loneliness and the feeling of being unwanted.
Mm-hmm.
So when a woman is hesitant to touch his penis, and a lot of women, they just don't even know what to do. So they don't really actually touch a man's penis. One of my clients who was married for about 31 years, I think, in all that time, she had never touched her husband's penis.
Oh my God.
Like they'd had sex, but her hands never touched it.
Oh, wow.
And it came out in counseling how damaging that was for his psyche. Like he felt totally rejected and very lonely in that relationship. So if we're just like touching his penis in order to get something done, like I'm just doing the bare minimum here just to get him hard, just to give him an orgasm, whatever, like a means to an end, that's not healthy, and that's not exciting for him either. He'll have an orgasm, and yeah, he'll drink that muddy water, but really they want a whole lot more than that.
Tell me a little bit about in your work how you know, because there's always sort of the trap of becoming mechanical, right? When we're going to techniques, especially. Oh, this worked the last time with the other guy. So how do you help with that piece when you educate your clients to, you know, I believe in really being tuned in and paying attention and have that awareness within our own hands and our own bodies of what's happening so we can really track and be with our partners. Is that something that you also help women with, how to really be tuned in on a deeper level besides the technique?
Yeah, absolutely. That is number one thing that I teach is actually finding out, okay, what does he like? Like, let's try this and let's ask him, and let's ask him in a way that makes it easy for him to answer. Like, if you're doing anything, if you're giving him a back rub and you ask your guy, how's this feel? He's going to say every time, good. That's good.
Right.
Because he just wants your hands on his body.
Right.
But again, dirty water, right? Like, he, whatever you're doing, he just wants you to keep doing it. He doesn't want to stop. He doesn't want to offend you. He doesn't want to hurt your feelings. A for effort. So, you know, keep you doing the thing. But if you ask in a certain way that makes it, like, for example, hey, so honey, if I do this a little bit firmer or a little bit lighter, which feels better? And actually do it, you know, like do the thing, whatever the thing, the technique is, do it a little bit harder, do it a little bit softer, and say, which one feels better? Then he's not actually critiquing you. He's critiquing the technique, which A, makes it easier for you to take, and B, makes it easier for him to say. He'll actually, every time, hands down, I would do that with my clients, and I would say, hey, so, you know, how does this feel? And they'd say, oh, that's great. Thanks.
Sure, right.
And then I would say, okay, well, I just want to make it really, really good. Like, I want to make this as good as it could be. So if I went a little bit faster or a little bit slower and demo as I said that, what feels better? And they would always correct me, and it would be different from what I was originally doing that was great. So
it's kind of like a way of training your clients how to solicit that feedback in a way where you actually get meaningful feedback. And I think that's a mistake we make a lot of times in sex, especially when it comes to really any kind of touch and much less erotic touch, not understanding how to solicit that feedback. And if we'll say, hey, am I doing, you know, I hear this one a lot too, like, am I doing it right? And that's really about us and our insecurity, right? So anyone's going to caretake our feelings, they're going to say, yeah, you're doing a great job, versus really keeping it focused on the person who's receiving the touch, and really eliciting from them, what is it that they want? How can we make, I love this one, how can I make this even better? What would make this even better? That's one of my favorite.
Exactly. Because it may be good, but it can always get better. And it shows a level of respect for your partner too, you know, and it opens up dialogue for them. And I tell you, ladies, this is not a one-sided thing. Like, a man does not want to be outdone in bed. He will reciprocate. He'll turn those tables. And then, you know, if you've given the example of the type of dialogue that gives him extra pleasure, he'll turn around and use that same dialogue on you and that questioning and all that to find out what really feels even better for you.
It's so really, I love that. Yeah. Cause it's, you know, it can be a tough skill to learn, but I love that it's sort of leading by example. And I think that's so, so true. And then as women, of course, this is something I help my clients a lot, but you have to figure out how to know what we want and what feels good for us. And all of that, which is sort of, you know, it's the opposite end of what you're speaking to here, but we have to be able to expand that capacity as well.
And I will say, Susan, that is a great point, that this sounds like, we are finding out all about what works for the guy, but I found that for me and all the clients I work with, all of the women without exception, that when they started practicing opening up dialogue in the bedroom by trying to please their guy in this way, it automatically helped them find out and discover and articulate what it is that makes them feel fabulous in the bedroom. Like, I didn't even know what to ask. Guys, they'll ask you, if guys ask, not all will, but if, you know, guys want to know how to rock your world, they want that notch in their belt. Like, they do want that, they want the skills, the tools. They got the ego thing going on, and they don't want to be outdone. But often women were like, no, you're doing great. Cause we just don't know the options that are out there. But when you start realizing all the different options that you didn't even know existed for the man's pleasure and how much pleasure we can get out of being the catalyst for that pleasure for him, it totally opens up our own imagination and our own willingness to discover all the different layers of our pleasure.
Of course.
Automatically, without even trying.
What would you say to a woman who maybe doesn't have a lot of interest in sex and therefore, you know, I see this a lot in the population that I work with, primarily low desire women, right? Therefore, they don't understand a man's need for sex and the role that sex tends to play for many, if not most men. There's sort of sometimes, I believe, a real misunderstanding in that or this idea that somehow it's dirty and all he wants is sex and I'm not going to do that for him because, you know, not really realizing how important the sexual touch and the erotic touch really is for, I believe, for all of us. But I think it's uniquely different for most men than it is for most women. Certainly not all. I know we're all unique and different. But yeah, speak to that a little bit.
I can totally speak to that because that was exactly me. Low desire. And I thought, yeah, like all guys are pigs. They just want one thing, right? And they do just want one thing. And I'll tell you what it is. They want connection. We think it's sex because sex is their favorite way to connect with us. But more than anything, they want to feel connected to us. Wow. And so that is, so for them to feel connected to us, they want to have sex with us. Yeah. That's their way. That's their vehicle to feel connected to us. Women, we're totally different. Right. That's why we don't get their desire. Like for men, sex is like water. They need it often. Right. They need to feel that connection in that way. For women, a lot of the times, not always, but a lot of the times, we need to feel desired and loved and appreciated and heard outside of the bedroom first before we decide we want to have sex with you.
Sure.
So if we're fighting and we resent you for something, we do not want to connect with you in that way. So with the opening of dialogue and all those, oh my gosh, like there in all of the load, can't say all, but in all that I've discovered, all the low desire sex clients that I've worked with, there was always a root of dissatisfied sexual experience in their past.
Sure.
You know, that just took root and blossomed into this, I hate sex. I don't like it. They've just been having the wrong kind of sex. Like I was having the wrong kind of, I was having intercourse. Instead of when he pulled my hand towards his penis, I'm like, a little up and down, I got nothing. And I would totally point things in the direction of intercourse because I'm like, that's all I got. This is what you want anyway. So let's do this and get it over with. Okay. And so it led me to resenting him, led me to resenting sex. And that was just something I wanted to avoid at all costs.
Yeah.
And so when I took away all the things that led me to that determination of I'm just an asexual being, that's eventually what I came up with. Was first I thought I was gay, the abuse, all that. I'm like, I'm just asexual. That's it.
Yeah.
And I was wrong about that. When I took away all the things that made me feel icky about sex, I resolved all those. Oh my gosh. My favorite thing is initiating sex because I'm having the sex I want. And often that's not even intercourse.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, let's touch on that for a minute. Because one of the things that, you know, and I'm with you on this one, you don't like the word foreplay. I'm with you on that for a number of reasons. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. Foreplay. I really don't like that word because it insinuates that all that juicy rolling around in the sheets and the making out and the petting and the touching and the just the yummy foreplay activities, it insinuates that that's just a pregame show, that that's just a means to an end, that the main event is the intercourse.
Right.
And I totally had that in my head, that all men really wanted intercourse. So yeah, if I want this to be over, let's just have intercourse and fake an orgasm and give him an orgasm, then we're done. But really the foreplay, I call it juicy time. because it's juicy. And guys, you might not expect to hear this, but guys really love the juicy time. Yes, they want an orgasm, but it doesn't always have to come through intercourse. Yeah. I have had so many men on my table say, oh my gosh, that was better than sex.
Wow.
Like I've heard from my female clients that their partners thought, like, they're thinking, yeah, sex intercourse is the pinnacle. That's the top of the mountain. That's what we're all striving for as far as the man's concerned. Yeah. Because to them, that gives them all the delicious sensations that all the other things can't. Oral is good, but it's not quite the same as intercourse. And they're like, yeah, my guy actually prefers what I do with my hands now. I just had last week, my client told me that. My guy prefers what I do with my hands than actually having intercourse.
Well, you know, we live in such a goal-oriented culture in general, but I think particularly when it comes to sex, the focus, like you said, not just the intercourse, but the orgasm. And it's almost like sex hasn't happened. Nothing else counts unless the climax. I prefer that word over orgasm. You know, and I really, in my work, do a lot of undoing and educating around that, you know, that is, there's a whole other approach to this where orgasm is not the goal. Great if it happens, cool, but there's, you know, I think we really miss out on so many other opportunities and other orgasmic experiences even when we're focused on getting to this endpoint called climax. So talk a little bit about that and how you address that in your work.
I totally agree with you. Yeah, at rockthebedroom.com, we take the orgasm or the climax off the table.
Yeah.
If it happens, great. If it doesn't happen, great. It was an amazing, mind-blowing experience either way, because of what you're doing and the connections that are made through the conversations, through the exploration. Like when people hear what I do, they automatically assume I just teach hand jobs.
Right.
You know, sure. And that's not at all what I do. What I teach is all about, it feels like a slow Sunday drive along all like the scenic route of his body, you know, like meandering along the coast, all the curves of his body. It's an exploration. It's luxurious. It's sensual. It's indulgent. Like it's an act of love. It's a next level of care without an orgasm at all as the intention.
Yeah.
And when you start with that, orgasm almost automatically happens. Like you don't have to try because it's so sensual and it's so yummy that you can't help but have even like internal climaxes before he actually ejaculates. Like waves and waves and waves of pleasure. And I really focus on edging where, you know, you're getting them super turned on and then you back away and you do other yummy things, but just like, you know, a little bit more tame, and then you get them close again and then you back away. Like it's this journey. It's not this sprint to a finish line.
Exactly.
I tell people take the finish line right off the table, because a lot of the partners of my clients have erectile dysfunction problems, have, you know, can't get an orgasm through traditional means or at all. Wow. And so this just gives women a different mode of pleasuring their guy, even if he can't have intercourse, and B, it lets the guys off the hook.
Sure.
Like you don't have to have an erection in order to enjoy all of these yummy sensations. Like,
which I think is a big unlearning for most people. We have this idea that a penis has to be erect or the man's not enjoying it. And if he's not erect, then there's something wrong with me as the partner. Like I see a lot of women in particular take that belief on, like, oh no, like it's me. He's not attracted to me. And then it becomes this big old thing instead of just learning how to be with that and understand that pleasure can be had whether there's an erection or not.
Yeah, that's one thing that women misunderstand about the penis is that that he's not enjoying it if he's not erect. Oh no, all those nerve endings are still there. And they're still alive and well, and they're craving your touch. And there's so many things that you can do with a flaccid penis that with your hands that you can't do with your vagina. Obviously, intercourse is not a possibility there. And taking a little blue pill is not the best idea for all the side effects. Sure. And so this, I mean, oh my gosh, you know, that's day one is let your man off the hook. Like oh my gosh, the weight off a man's shoulders, you got to know that is a punch in the gut to their self-esteem, not being able to get erect, even though they're turned on. So to let them off the hook and to just like one of my ladies said a couple weeks ago, her guy just never has an orgasm. He just doesn't. And through learning all these techniques and learning the compassion that he needed and totally taking the climax off the table. Of course he had one. It was like a total celebration. It's like, what just happened? Because
we're not performance anxiety or performance pressure when we're just letting him off the hook. And I think a lot of women would feel the same way. You know, there's a lot of pressure on women as well in sex to have to produce an orgasm so that their male partners are satisfied, right? We have to just get all that out and just let it be and be present and relax and allow pleasure to live and pleasure to go where pleasure wants to go. And then, like you said, then orgasm is sort of just a natural byproduct of that.
Yeah, it'll happen or not. And either way, it's a delicious experience. Yeah. And no one, you know, there's not that internal dialogue of, oh, what did I do wrong? That's the first thing I teach is just like, let's let everybody off the hook. It's all good. This is just practice. It's just practice. I'm just going to learn how to use your body like a playground. Like, let's just have fun, you know? And then that's how sex, and I air quote sex because we automatically go to intercourse when we hear the word sex, but like the whole lovemaking becomes a completely different universe.
Yeah, for sure.
It's just it doesn't even resemble what we, you know, the kind of sex we had when we were 20 or whatever. Like, it just is not even the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so much more available than I think most people realize. I've got just a few more questions for you before we start to wrap things up here with the time that we have. You know, I've heard, this is something that I've heard, and I want to see if you can verify this, that most women touch the penis too lightly. Not firmly enough. Has that been true in your experience? Do you run into that? Is that true?
It's really all over the map. Like so you just made the up and down that I call that grabbing the penis. I call that spaghetti, that up and down thing. I named all my techniques after food so you can remember them. And yes, like we have this fear as women, generally we have this fear that we're going to hurt something, you know, like we've all heard, kick a guy in the balls. That's like the worst thing that you could do. It's the most painful thing. So we proceed into that area very cautiously. And there are times to have a very light feather touch, which is, that's actually a free resource that I offer people at rockthebedroom.com. There's a free technique that I give away that is, it is a very light touch, but not because you think you're going to hurt him, but because it's so yummy. It will make him squirm. It's so good. But there are times that, you want to have a very firm grip. And there's varying gradations in between that. And there are times, I mean, there's so many different techniques, and there's 10 different hot spots just in his genital area alone, some of which you do want to touch very lightly and some of which you want to touch very firmly. And through conversation, of course, you're going to find out with your guy what he prefers in each of those areas. But I have a very good idea of what most men do. I mean, after 2,000 clients, you know, I kind of figured out a lot of things, generally speaking, how, you know, every guy likes it firm when you do this and da-da. But women don't be afraid to touch his genitals. He wants you to touch them and to feel confident with your touch. And when you're afraid of hurting him, that doesn't feel confident. And so, and he's not feeling too relaxed in that situation either. He can feel your confidence through your touch or not.
Oh,
so, yes. I mean, there's definitely, you know, with his testicles, you don't want to squish him too hard, but there's a lot that you can do even with those, with a fair amount of pressure that feels like ecstasy. Nice. So it depends on what you're doing. Okay. Even with spaghetti up and down, there are times you want to go light. There are times you want to go very firm. It depends on the situation, which I go into, but great question. Yeah. Don't be afraid of the penis.
A minute about your, some of your offerings you have in a minute before we finish, we'll get into that. Well, you know, one of the things that I run into is I work with women like you do in the field of sexuality, and I have found and encountered that for a lot of women, sex just isn't terribly relevant unless they're in a relationship. I run into that a lot, and I don't think that that's necessarily true. And I would love to get your take on, you know, what's in it for women who are not in a relationship to learn this erotic massage that you teach? Why would they want to do it? How would it benefit them? Who would they practice on?
Right. Oh, that's such a great question. Because I had a bunch of single ladies at my last 5-day challenge. and they're like, okay, so we're going to learn some techniques here. Who do I practice on? And when we stop thinking of our own sexual empowerment as dependent on being in a relationship, then things start changing.
I love that.
Right?
Just say that one more time, please. Everyone, really, I just want this to sink in for our listeners. Yeah. It's so, so, so important. Say that one more time.
And I don't think I've actually said it quite that way. So thank you for this opportunity. Our own sexual empowerment does not depend on us being in a relationship. It does not depend on a man. I get asked the question all the time, you know, so is it my responsibility to service my guy in this way? I'm like, no, it's not. It is not your responsibility to get your guy off. It's your responsibility to get you off, to take care of you in the bedroom, to step into your inner goddess, big girl panties in the bedroom. And you know, it's like, I love training the single ladies because you don't walk into a job interview without prepping. You know, without having some ideas in mind of questions they might ask you and how you might respond. You don't walk into, you know, an operating room without going through some education or learning how to do that surgery. Like, you don't learn on the job in something that's so critical. And no one likes to be bad in bed, right? So prep is important. And so if you're single, it's so important that you learn some techniques so that when you do get into the bedroom with someone, you know what you're doing and you don't have that mind trash talk going on, doubting yourself and worrying whether you're doing it right. You can just enter the bedroom confident. Yeah. And what I have had some ladies do, to answer the other part of your question, like, who do you do it on then? It's funny because when people join my coaching program, I send them this one specific dildo that they can practice on.
I love it.
Because there are some things you do want to practice ahead of time to get that muscle memory in before you go see your guy. But there are some things that you can't always practice on a dildo when you're dealing with other parts of his anatomy. And the dildo mostly focuses on the penis. And there's so many other things you could do that don't even involve the penis that feel even better. And so, you know, like finding
let's talk about that for just a minute.
Let's
shift directions here just slightly, because there are so many other things you can do. It's not just the penis. And I'm going to throw you a curveball here. What about women who are in a relationship with another woman? Would anything that you teach be of benefit to them?
Actually, yes. Because I teach women to turn the tables with their guy, like, hey guys, you can do this on your lady. Like, it requires a little bit of adjustment and modification, but the principles are all the same. You know, like I teach a lot of teasing techniques. There is an art to the tease. And without the tease, sex is just wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. That's not very fulfilling in the long term. Once in a while, yeah. But, you know, if there's no tease, if there's no lead up, then sexual encounters aren't that enticing. And so there's so much that you can do to tease the female anatomy. And our clitoris is a miniature penis.
Yeah.
Just saying, like developmentally speaking, men and women started out the same way. Their clitoris just got a whole lot bigger.
Yeah.
Right. So, and there's, you know, the labia and all, like, there's so much that goes into teasing and the speed at which you do things and the firmness or lightness of the touch that's totally translatable. Yes. You could totally, it's like, okay, we have breasts. Guys don't. They have chests and nipples and all that. And if I can teach a man how to, or I can teach a person, gender is irrelevant. I can teach a person how to massage a man's chest.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that person were to then massage a woman's chest, they'd have to modify slightly because things might, you know, it's not as comfortable pressing as hard on a woman's chest, and you'd have to be softer in certain areas. And there are different modifications, but yeah, it would, I would say 90% of what I teach, totally transferable.
Nice.
Oh yeah. I mean, there's just so much. It's interesting when I try to explain, it's like trying to explain chocolate to someone who doesn't have taste buds.
Sure.
Like, yeah. You just don't even know what you don't know. So you don't know what's possible.
Right.
And so there's just so much possible that is outside of our realm of even imagining.
Yeah, like it's really about opening up our curiosity and sort of reframing. It sounds like a lot too, of really what sex is and what touch is and what erotic touch is and what orgasm
100%.
Is. Yeah, beautiful. I've got one more juicy question for you that I want to finish on, and then I want you to share with our listeners just about how to get in touch with you and all that good stuff. So in your experience, what do most men, wait a minute, I've got this written down. Yeah, what do most men wish that women knew about a man's body? There was just one or two things that most men really wish a woman knew. What would that be?
Yeah. So men, this is a brilliant question, because just like a lot of women are suffering in silence in the bedroom, a lot of men are too.
Yeah.
And men want us to touch it like we like it.
Yes.
Right? Like that was another thing that Mother Teresa said. I'm telling you, she comes up a lot with sex. You wouldn't think so. But she said this. She said, it's not about how much we give, but how much love we put into giving.
Wow.
Brilliant. Brilliant woman. And you can directly take that into the bedroom. Like, men want you to touch it like you like it. Like, you're not trying to just get something done. Like, you're not just trying to get them hard so you can stick it in or get them off or whatever. Like, really luxuriate in his body. Like, and I was the first person to kind of go, I don't know, the penis is this strange thing. It's like, it's all a little bit sticky and I don't know, you know? Like, and now, oh my gosh, I love the penis. Like, it's all reframing. And when you know how to make your man squirm and moan and look at you like you are the best thing since pizza and beer and swim oceans for you and buy you those shoes at the store that you were eyeing and want to do, like, just do everything for you, you come to love the penis.
Yeah.
And then when you really have an appreciation for what his genitals mean to him, like a lot of men, really, most men identify heavily with their genitals.
Absolutely.
So that's why any kind of genital dysfunction really hits their ego hard.
Yeah.
Right? So when we can touch it like we like it, we are touching their soul.
Yeah. Yeah, I think there goes, you know, something to be said about really having that level of compassion for a man. I think too often men get this bad rap of just being pigs and all they want is sex and that's so gross. And why are you masturbating? Why are you watching porn? And I think that like what you're describing right now is the solution. And I think it's the solution to potential divorce and potential affairs. Like women learn this stuff. This is like security. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I have heard the words so many times from my female clients, this saved our marriage.
Yes.
And I have heard from men's mouths, you make me love my wife even more. Like when I was seeing guys in my office, most of them were in a relationship. Mm-hmm. Most of them had either a girlfriend or were engaged or in a marriage. And I would ask them all the time, if your lady at home did this for you and made, not just did this, but made you feel like this, mm-hmm. like made you feel adored, made you feel like the king that you are, like revered you and respected and admired you like this, would you ever come to see me? Hands down, no.
Right. Yeah.
No, they wouldn't. So that's what led me to wanting to teach this to women, because I'm like, okay, I've done the guys a solid, but really, ooh, pun not intended. But I want to do the ladies a solid. Like, really?
Well,
you can be better than any ex he's ever had and any future. Like, he can't even imagine getting anything like this anywhere else, unless they've come to see me, which is highly unlikely. They can't even imagine that they would get anything better outside of their home.
Yeah. And you have really become an advocate for partnering with women, not being in competition with women, that you're really out there to educate women and train women in these skills so that they can have these kinds of experiences for themselves. And I want to talk about that. I know that you've got a 5-day challenge, and talk about just some of your offerings, things that you offer, and how can our listeners connect with you? How do we find you?
Thank you. And I do want to speak to what you just said. Like, this does seem like it's all about the guys, right? Pleasing the guys, but the women get way more out of it. Way more, if you can believe it. Like, you're just forever changed. You can't go back to playing small. You are this goddess. And so that's the important thing to keep in mind, that you're not learning how to service your guy. You're learning how to step into your big girl panties.
That is just such a big distinction to make. And I'm just going to repeat that. We're not learning how just to service our guy. We're really learning how to step into our own sexual empowerment and our own sexual pleasure and joy and confidence and really growing ourselves up as women in the sexual domain. I love that.
Yeah.
How do we teach us?
So you can check out the free resource on my website, rockthebedroom.com. And that's how you get to stay in my world and keep in the loop of all the different challenges I have and my courses. I have different courses, like Erotic Massage Mastery is my flagship course. And I have Date Night Erotic Massage, which is a thing you can do tonight. You can consume it today and do it tonight. It's so good. And the next challenge, I just finished one a couple of weeks ago, so I don't have the next date set, but if you get the free thing, then you're in my world, so that when I drop the dates, you're the first to know.
I guess everybody make sure to sign up for the free offering on rockthebedroom.com. I'm going to make sure that I get on that, because I did miss your last challenge. And after this conversation, sign me up. I'm in. I just encourage all my listeners here to go connect with Lee Jagger, America's erotic massage coach, specifically for women. And please go check her out, follow her. And thank you so much for joining us today for the Sex Talk Cafe, Lee. It's been just such a pleasure to have you, such a joy to get to share this conversation with you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your open-mindedness and the world that you are opening up for women through your work. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me today for the Sex Talk Cafe. Please be sure to show your support by subscribing to this podcast and sharing it with your friends. To keep in the loop on future events and happenings, and to grab your copy of our free ebook, The Pleasure Keys, 7 Secrets to Feminine Sexual Fulfillment, visit us online at pathwaytopleasure.com.